Today's service, again, good morning, welcome. For those of you who are new or visiting, my name is Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here at the church. And today on this Sunday, it is going to be a different kind of Sunday. If you were with us last week and you were new or visiting, I'm sorry, you have come to back-to-back weird Sundays. But they're good Sundays. They're both really good. Weren't you guys so grateful last Sunday, just to hear story after story of God's faithfulness throughout the past year? So grateful to hear those stories. Today, though, is a little bit different. We're not going to be doing that again. Today is what we are calling, and I didn't say that like we're never going to do that again, okay? I just meant like we're not going to do it in 2 weeks in a row, okay? Maybe again later in the year, but today is what we're calling Vision Sunday. Yes. I love you, one excited person. Thank you for being so pumped about this. Today is what we're calling Vision Sunday, and I know that might sound big and that might sound flashy, but really all we want to do is we want to take this first Sunday of the year, which is typically a low-key kind of Sunday. As you can tell, there are plenty of people who are either sick or traveling right now still. We just wanted to use this kind of simple Sunday to share with you and do two things as a community. We just want to do two things. Number one, we want to celebrate and reflect upon and remember where we've been over the last year, briefly. And we also want to share with all of you some updates as to where we are right now, and maybe the most exciting part, where we sense God leading us in 2025. Does that sound good? Can we do that today? Does that sound interesting to all of you, or should we scrap it and go with a new plan? What do we think? All right, we'll stick with this one. I'm really excited about doing this morning because I can't wait to see what God does in and through our community when we're all on the same page, when we're all praying and dreaming and envisioning of what God might do through this particular community together. What he might do through us individually. And I think it's really important for us as we are on really what I would just simply call this journey together. And that's what this is. This is a journey. And as a community, we have been on a journey together. We are on a journey right now, and we are going on a journey in the year to come. And so our team this past week, we got together and we were reflecting on this and this idea. And Pastor Allison had brought up this idea that over the Christmas holiday season, Allison was like, she said, you know what, the current stage and season of our church's life, it just reminds me so much of we're good. It reminds me so much of the life of Abraham. The life of Abraham. And it really resonated with me. And I'm not talking about someone in our church or someone in pop culture. I'm talking about like Old Testament Abraham, yeah? Like that's where we all go when we hear the name Abraham. Like all the way back to Genesis, Abraham, like Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, just so you know. And so are you. Now listen. For all of you who that joke is not funny to you, you should praise the Lord because you're not dealing with that trauma, okay? I'm just kidding. It's a fine song. Okay, for those who need a quick reminder on the story of Abraham and why that so resonated with our team over this past week as we were talking about this particular Sunday, Abraham's story is kind of wild. If you've never read it, if you're in a Bible reading plan right now, chances are you're about to read it or you read it recently. He steps out. He's invited out by the God of the universe to step out onto this epic journey. And he doesn't really have a definitive idea as to where this journey is going to take him, only that God has promised him some really incredible things. And so he's going to trust God. He's convinced in this story that God has something good in store for him. And we know the story. God did, because that's who God is. God is faithful to his people. He's faithful to his children. But again, at the beginning of Abraham's story, he didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the results would be as good as they were for him. And I think for us, that's been our story. And I believe that it is going to continue to be our story here at Arbor for a season. Much like Abraham, over these last few years, we have stepped into some really difficult and unfamiliar territory, trusting, we have been trusting over these last few years that God is going to use this humble, scrappy group of people who have decided, hey, you know what? Out of all the communities I could join in the East Side and in the Seattle suburbs, I'm gonna lay roots here at Arbor. I'm gonna join arm in arm with the people around me. We are setting our compasses to Jesus, and we're just gonna walk. We're gonna be obedient, and we're gonna do it. That's what we've done. If you want like our 20-year plan, that's it. That's our story. That's been our journey for these last few years. So, you know, when I got here about 2.5 years ago, in the summer of 2022, we started a new leg of the journey. It wasn't a new church then. This church is going to celebrate its, what is it, Allison, its 8th birthday here in a few weeks. And I got here 2.5 years ago, and when I got here in the middle of 2022, it was a season. It was interesting. We were in the middle of an ongoing crisis that still needed to be resolved, and many people had left the church, and the church was struggling financially. It was a difficult season. It was really hard. But again, like Abraham, listen, as a church, we did not look to our circumstances to determine the steps that we were going to take into the future. We looked to our Savior. And we said, that is the God who provides. That is the God who cares. And he cares more about this church than anyone in this church cares about this church. And so we're going to follow you, God. And we're going to believe that you have good plans for us. Whatever those might be, we're just going to trust that whatever your good plans for us, we're going to receive them. And we have seen over these last few years, year after year, God has cared for us. He has provided for us. He has brought us together. In fact, I have been in ministry for nearly 20 years, and no other community that I've ever been a part of is so deeply connected with one another in a way that is so refreshing and so encouraging. It's a beautiful place. It's a really beautiful place. And he has provided year after year. He provided for that rest of 2022, 2023, sustaining us and leading us. And by his grace and goodness, we can stand here on January 5th, 2025, looking back at 2024, being like, thank you, God. You did it again. And we're only surprised because we're forgetful, you know? That's why we're surprised. 2024, listen, nothing amazing happened in 2024, and that's good. It was a year of our church doubling down on our mission and seeing God provide stability and consistency in our community. It was a year where we doubled down on our mission of people helping people find and follow Jesus. It was a year of going back to the basics. These last 2 years have been that, going back to the basics and strengthening our core and getting our foundation right again. This past year in 2024, we had more people connected in community and at groups than at any time for like 5 years. It was an amazing thing. We saw so many, and the purpose of these groups is to encourage and equip us to become like Jesus and to follow him, which we define as being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing as he did. And so groups were thriving this past year. Our Arbor Kids ministry is thriving. It is quite literally on our big weekends, busting at the seams. And that is in part due to incredible new leadership by Lindsay Shelp, who I am so grateful for her leadership. She's not here yet, but she will be here in the room eventually. So grateful for her. That ministry is thriving. There are so many cool things happening there. We had our second VBS. So many of our outreach endeavors are centered on that on our kids' ministry. And we just saw those bring the gospel and invite people into our church and into this community who may never consider it in those spaces. We had baptisms, child dedications, retreats. We had our women's ministry, men's nights, worship nights. There were so many things in our community where we just saw this vibrancy and this eagerness to gather together as God's people, to pursue Jesus, to find, help others find him and follow him ourselves. Our student ministry continues to thrive even in the wake of its founder and leader's departure, Brian Cobley, whom we love and we miss, and his family's doing really well down in California. But that ministry is thriving, and that is due in main part to Nathan Wagner and Amanda Salisbury. Are you guys in the room today, right now, Nathan and Amanda? Would you guys both please stand up? They're in the back. Give them a big round of applause. Thank you, Nathan and Amanda, so much. They have been leading our student ministry in interim leadership for the past 6 months. Ever since Brian left, they've been leading our student ministry, and it has continued to thrive and be great, and we've loved that. So grateful for them. And so briefly, that's where we've been, okay? That's just a brief recap of 2024. But this is Vision Sunday. And on Vision Sunday, you look forward, right? You don't just look back. And so listen, where are we right now? Before we get to where we sense God leading our community, where are we right now? Again, reflecting on the story of Abraham. He said yes to God before he fully knew what the future would look like. He said yes to God and he traveled with God. He picked up everything from his home, his family, his livestock, his employees, everyone, and he journeyed out into wherever God was leading him. He traveled. He had seen God move and provide. He built altars and memorials to God, saying, God, you have done something in this place. But even as Abraham journeyed, if you read through his story, a lot happens. And you get to these midpoints of Abraham's journey, and the promise that God made to Abraham is that I'm going to make a great nation out of you. That was like the one big main specific promise that God made to Abraham. And Abraham's waiting for that. And even though he's traveled and journeyed and set up all these altars, that promise that God made still seemed so far out in the distance. And so he was in this in-between place. He wasn't where he had started, but he wasn't quite yet where God wanted him. He was in the tension of being between those places. And it was in that space, in that in-between space, where God would remind Abraham of his promise to him. He would say things to him like, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And I share all of that to say this morning, I believe that essentially this is where we are right now as a church, as a community. We are still journeying. We are still believing. We are still building, knowing full well that God is not done with this community yet. Now, that might not seem like a big statement to you, but trust me, there are people who are in this room right now who, like 3 or 4 years ago, thought maybe God might be done with this community. But he's not. And he's not. And we've seen a few things over the past year that would lead us to believe that God is continuing to like prepare us and build something great in this space. I mentioned briefly that our Arbor Students Ministry is still going strong, thanks to the service and leadership of Nathan and Amanda. But they can't do that forever. They couldn't do it forever. That role and responsibility was in addition to them leading their their families, their friends, their full-time jobs. They had all of that going on. So this was just like, this was a decision of like, we've only got this much time. And so ever since Brian left, they stepped in, but we had been praying and brainstorming and thinking, God, what would you have for us? What would you have for us next in this ministry? And over the past few months, God has made that very, very clear as to what we're doing. And so listen, I am thrilled. I am thrilled to announce that we are going to be stepping into a partnership with the ministry Young Life, which means that we'll be bringing on a new student ministry director, and his name is Aaron Demas. And I think he's sitting right over there. I just caught him. Aaron, would you stand up? Would you guys welcome Aaron? Aaron, I have gotten the opportunity to sit down with Aaron a few times, and he is an incredible young man. He is like 23 or 24, but you've got your master's degree already, right? Aren't you like teaching adjunct classes at Northwest? Like, really just an incredible guy, and you're going to have opportunities to get to know him better and meet him in the weeks and months to come. But Aaron's going to be serving at our Arbor Student Ministry, informed by Young Life's framework, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Now, a quick moment of confession. I was a youth pastor 10 years ago, okay? I was a youth pastor 10 years ago, and I'm going to be honest, we kind of viewed Young Life as the enemy. Aaron, I don't know if I shared this with you yet, but we were like, they're taking the students from our youth ministry. And so there was like a little bit of tension and frustration there as a youth pastor. Now, fast forward, this is like, you know, 10 years later. I'm definitely older, hopefully wiser. So many people that I've met who are thriving, vibrant followers of Jesus in the church, when I hear their story about how they came to faith, it's so often, guess what? Through Young Life. How did you like, you know, start your, you know, relationship with Jesus? How did you start following? Oh, Young Life, high school, someone invited me, person after person after person. And all that to say, it's a ministry that is so focused on reaching middle school and high school kids for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that over the past 10 years, I've just been blown away. I'm like, if there's one student ministry that is going out and engaging in schools and leading kids to Christ, it's Young Life. They're doing that. And so hear this, by partnering with Young Life, we're not only supporting their mission at a broader, larger level here in our community and in our area, but we're also ensuring right now that our students have another leader in a line of Brian and Nathan and Amanda. They have another leader just like those three leaders who lives and breathes the evangelism and discipleship of our middle and high school students. And that's a value for us. They are laser focused on seeing students, youth, teenagers, whatever you want to call them, finding and following Jesus. They care about that. And that kind of passion, I think it will have ripple effects. I think it's going to challenge us as an entire church to continue to reach out beyond our walls. Young Life has a very specific outreach focus built into their ministry. We will catch that. I'm excited for their framework to be deployed in our church for our students, that many students who would never step foot into a traditional church setting and listen to someone boring like me will hang out with Aaron and hear about the gospel and start following Jesus. So all that being said, I am so, so pumped for Aaron to come in and serve and lead our students. I think his presence in our church and the presence of Young Life is going to be so powerful for our students, and not just our students, but our entire church, as we impact that particular demographic with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We're not trying to build a big youth ministry. We're not trying to build a big church. We're just simply trying to be people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what we're about. That's what we're going about. And so we're excited about that. Just the tip of the iceberg, as well as we continue to go through some of these updates. I've got one more for you, and then we're going to take a little break and then get back at it. Isn't it wild how often God shows up in the middle of our most uncertain moments? Like that those are the spaces where God meets with us and comes through and shows us, like, really when we're at the end of our rope, when we're at the end of our rope and we're like, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to carry us through this? That's when God comes through. And I think about Abraham again, and just talking about him and his journey, and thinking about him journeying from his homeland across that sort of middle area of you know, what they call it, the Levant, where Israel is. And I just think about the times where he was uncertain. How am I going to feed my flocks? How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to care? God, what are you doing in the midst of this uncertainty? And again, if you were with us back in 2022, you remember that we were not in a good place, and we were potentially going to be making some really tough decisions about our church. It was really hard. But we believed, like Abraham, again, that God had brought us this far and he was not going to leave us hanging. And we continued to step forward in faith, trusting that he would provide. And over these last 2.5 years, he has. And I just want to say this as someone who is like the lead pastor of this church and doing this really for like the first time in my life over these last 2.5 years, God has been so faithful. But seeing it from this leadership perspective, he has been faithful through all of you. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, especially those of you who have been with us for these last 2.5, 3 years and longer. Thank you for sticking with this community. It means the world. And it shows that you did not have faith in like whatever was going on organizationally in this church. You had faith in God, that he was going to do something through this church. And so thank you for continuing to have faith in God and supporting this place. You know, we had gotten to a spot by the end of 2022, going into 2023, where, you know, every waking moment of my life, I was thinking about the finances of this church. And it was grinding me down. And I had gotten to like 6-7 months here at Arbor, and we had gotten through some difficult seasons, but I was still like, oh my goodness, this is so much. And I just prayed. I was like, God, I can't do this on my own. This is going to cause me to crack. And so that's why I'm going to introduce you to someone who was like a very specific answer to prayer. We put a notification out on our community page on Facebook. Hey, we need help with our finances, overseeing that, helping us get a better grip on what's going on here. And that's when God provided Bob Dean. Yes. And so right now, to give an update on our 2024 finances, I want to welcome up Bob Dean, someone who I love deeply. I am so grateful that he and his wife are here at Arbor. Bob has been such a comforting presence in my life over these last couple of years, as his wisdom and his knowledge about these things has really provided a better framework for us moving forward to understand how we can ultimately be better stewards with our resources. And so I thought, what better way to share this announcement with all of you than to have Bob come up and share that. So everyone, if you've never met Bob, here he is. Incredible man. Thank you, Bob.
Well, good morning. So before I get into the financial stuff, I'm going to go a little off topic, but it relates to what you were talking about, Young Life. And I moved here 10 years ago from Asheville, North Carolina. We lived there 15 years, and we were heavily involved with Young Life during those years. We had club at our house for 13 years, so lots of shoes in the front thing going on, and I was committee chair for a good stretch of that time, and put on more banquets than she can remember, and we saw during that period how important Young Life was to kids. We started the middle school ministry during that period because we and the committee sensed that the issues that kids were going through in high school had moved down to middle school, and we just felt called to do that. So we started that ministry, which thrived. So it makes a difference. It's a great model. We had kids who it impacted our children, Allie Mel, who's back working with kids right now, and our son. Both of them went to camp, were with kids. And I think we saw kids who had gone to church for all their life and would come back from a week at camp, a Young Life camp, and go, wow, I think I really get it now. And even though they'd been told the same things, but the settings can be different. So anyway, I really do commend you on that decision to engage in that. It's, we did, by the way, in Asheville there, we had some churches who weren't so sure about us, the crazy people over there doing Young Life. But so anyway, that's wanted you to know that. I'm really happy about that. So my start of doing this position as chair of the finance team, when Ryan was correct, Allison put out a notice about, we need somebody. And I didn't see that because we'd only been at this church for like 6 weeks. We'd come initially with Allie Mel and her husband Andy for the child dedication. At the end of 2022, we'd been at other churches before then. And then by that spring, we'd started. So I get a call from Allie saying, Dad, I got this thing on the, you know, that's on the Arbor site that says they need somebody to help with finances and who understands it and da da da. And she said, that's you. And I said, all right, okay. So I was very happy to get a hold of Ryan and Allison and meet and it's a great and work with the team that we have. We have a finance team here that includes myself, Catherine Klein, Lauren Winter, who's really labored for a lot of years in the finance field here, and we thank him for that. Braden Unger has joined the team. We also have a group that helps with the counting. So there's a lot of the stuff is online these days, but we still go around and get things out of the boxes and count it up and make deposits and all of those old school things. But please keep doing them. So John Acone and Colin Lund, Jonathan McGordy, Gary Snyder, and John Turner help out in that. So that's the group. So it's a good group helping. So our budget for last year was $883,000, or about $74,000 a month, and that that worked okay. In August, we were about $80,000 behind our expenses. And Ryan was up here raising the help sign, like, please. And by the end of November, with your help, that had been reduced to $28,000, which was that's a big difference in that period. So expenses at that point, the staff had really worked on reducing expenses. So we were $41,000 below kind of the expected expense level at that point, or the budget expense level. So that's where we went into December. So how did December work out? Well, it worked out amazingly. So just amazing. So offerings and other income exceeded $152,000 in December. So that's like more than double a monthly thing, so I went back and looked at the whole history of this church in terms of giving, because my brain does those things, and I found that was the largest month in the history of this church in December. And November, and the November-December was the largest two-month period for the history of this church, the 8 years that this church has been here. So that's a really great trend, and it shows, thank you, Lord, for that, because that's really important. So how about our deficit? Well, it's gone. It's gone, and we expect a surplus of $50,000 to $55,000 coming out of 2024, which will help in the early months of 2025, because giving tends to be seasonally a bit lower then. So but it's interesting. Our giving last year and other income totaled $893,000, which was actually $10,000 above the budget that we started the year with. When mid-year was like, why did we make the budget so big? But it ended up, God provided that and a little bit more. We just maybe we needed to trust a little more. But it was that's really kind of neat to understand. So I've got some big picture comments on all of this stuff with the history of the church. I think, to me, we've been coming here for about 2 years or so, and I think, to me, Arbor has stabilized well financially in the last 2 years. There's no deficit in 2023 or 2024. And that the history, if you go back, in 2021, there was a $90,000 deficit. In 2022, there was a $238,000 deficit, which is why Ryan was waking up during the night. So that's, we're now past the pastor transition. We're now past COVID, and as a church, we can continue to focus on how we serve the Lord, our congregation, and the community better. I think we're looking forward. Our congregation is relatively small, so the breadth of financial support from this congregation is really amazing. It's very heartwarming and wonderful. It's all stages of life. We see donation from kids, literally, to we'll call them super seniors, maybe in this group, and everyone in between. So there are, you know, it's everyone is involved in it. From early on, Ryan will remember this, when I first started looking at, you know, okay, what's this all look like? I said, wow, there's people at all levels who are young families with kids, older people on fixed income. Everybody's involved with this because we're really looking out for each other and for the vision here. And we're supporting our past pastoral staff and other staff too. I think that's very important. And when financial updates are given throughout the year, I really sense this congregation listens and then goes, oh, okay, what can we do? And that's a wonderful place to be, and which shows that we look out and care for one another, you know, including the pastors and staff. So that's it, you know, sorry to be a downer, but it was great to see. I saw this guy smile, these two particular smile a bit more as we got towards the end of the year, because Ryan is, I'm waking up again. So anyway, so that's it. If you have questions now or any time during the year, please talk to me, talk to any of us on the finance team, and we're always happy to talk about this. Thanks very much. Back to you.
Thank you, Bob. Isn't that update amazing? Yeah. Uh-huh. And isn't Bob amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't he great? Such a cool guy. I love him. Again, just blown away by your generosity and faithfulness. I want all of you to know that, like, we don't take it for granted that so many people in this church give and generously support the ministry here. Every single month when I get paid, I think to myself, it's God's money, but it's through your hands. And we are so grateful for the ways in which we as a community come together and support the ministry here. And we take that very seriously. And I think the best news about that entire financial update is this. Because we have been blessed, we can continue to move forward to be a blessing. Yeah. We have not been blessed to, like, oh, we're safe. Oh, we got the stuff we need. That's not the reason why we do that. We do that because the things that are entrusted into our hands, we want to send right back out the door. And that's why we've been trying to make our partnerships with the Storehouse and UGM and Acres of Diamonds and other things that we believe God is beginning to stir up in our hearts. That's our desire. That's our heart. We don't have a ton more to share, but we've got enough, so I'm going to be kind of zippy at this point now. We have talked about where we've been, where we are. Let's talk about where we sense God leading us. How about that? How does that sound? Again, you know, recalling Abraham. Abraham took one step at a time. He didn't always see the full picture, but he trusted God's leading. And so the question for us is, where do we sense God as leading us as a community? And so today, we sense the Lord leading us to take our own next big step of faith as a church. In fact, the biggest step of faith we've taken in my time here as lead pastor of the church, we are doing this. We are going to move to two Sunday services starting on February 2nd. Some of you are really excited. Some of you are probably quite apprehensive. And I understand that. That makes complete and total sense. Change is difficult, and it's hard, and it comes with a lot of uncertainty. But remember what I've said about those times of uncertainty, that those are the times where God meets us most profoundly, are in those times of uncertainty. And so, again, not going to go through a lot of what I had here right now. I am just going to fast forward to the moment where I invite Allison and Hayden on stage, two people who have been here at Arbor for over a half a decade apiece, to explain some of the why and the how behind this decision. They have been here when the church was one service and two services and one service and two services and back to one service. So they have seen it all. And so they're going to share with us a little bit of the reasoning behind the why and how we are going to get there. So everyone, welcome Allison and Hayden today.
We're the OG. We are the OG, man.
We are.
It's just all about me right now, I guess. I'll take over. Okay, so the OGs are here to, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they look a little scared?
I think they look a little scared, a little apprehensive.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about how this is all going to be possible.
All right. So buckle up, guys. We'll address your concerns a little bit and explain how we got to this decision. So as history, back in the day, we were planted 8 years ago, and our birthday's coming up on 2-2, which is our hope for splitting into two services at that point. But back in the day, 8 years ago, we opened our doors, and it took us 2 weeks to go into two services because we sensed not only was this room full here, but the kids' rooms were full as well. And so it was kind of a fast decision at the time. And we've made a little changes, like Ryan indicated. We've gone back and forth between two and then to one. When did we do the one?
Oh my gosh, that was probably COVID, right? Or the one was during the summer.
Yeah, yes. Actually that's a best practice, I think, for every summer is to go back into one service since so many of us travel. But yeah, definitely COVID.
Mm-hmm. The mushroom cloud of 2020.
The mushroom cloud of 2020. We pulled back a little bit. That kind of flattened us out, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what's been cool for us to see is there's been so many people coming back, joining us, getting out of that COVID rhythm and back into the church rhythm that we like to see. And experts say, and we did a little bit of research on this, experts say that people feel comfortable in churches that are between 70 and 80% capacity. Any more than that, and it starts to feel crowded and uncomfortable. And I think that we could all agree when it's above 70 or 80%, you gotta scoot past people awkwardly in the middle of worship, that it is a little bit uncomfortable and it can feel too full.
Totally. Yeah. And actually, since we learned that statistic about the 70%, as a staff, we've been using the headcount numbers and we've been tracking and we've been watching. Ryan was like, hey, just keep watching for the trends. We don't want to jump into this faster than we need to, but let's watch the trends. And sure enough, over the course of the last few months, increasingly 70% capacity over in this room here.
And another indicator is our kids' rooms. And
right.
I want to invite Lindsay Shelp up to come say more about that. But that's something that we, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Green light.
You were very
clear. Yeah.
But yeah, we want to talk about the kids' rooms as well.
Yeah. Before we give the mic over to Lindsay, and she'll explain sort of her perspective on the kids' ministry and what that looks like now and then in the future, I did kind of just want to give a shout out to the teams that have rocked their responsibilities up to this point. It's because of you guys working on the parking and the coffee and the welcoming and the ushering and setting up that people feel welcome here and they want to stay and they want to bring their friends. So you guys have like completely rocked it up to this point. Moving forward, we're hoping to like do it all the more. So Christmas Eve was sort of a foretaste of what that would look like to have two services happening with a little bit of connection time in between. If you were here on Christmas Eve, you remember that between services, we all hung out in the lobby, we had coffee, some of the volunteers were swapping out their position for the next team that was coming in, and some people just stayed through. So like some welcome teamers started the first service, came into service, and then greeted at the doors for second service, and then they pieced out after that. Some volunteers will roll like that, and others will be a complete swap out.
Yeah, and like for the teams that I lead, worship and tech, they will be serving at both services, but some of the other teams will swap and share services.
Right. So your team leaders will get a hold of you, and we'll have a conversation about scheduling, and we'll have a conversation about how you new people can also jump into teams and help make this smooth and awesome. So anyhow, over to you, Lindsay.
Thank you so much. Hayden, you were super clear about me having to come up. I got nervous probably. Hey, it's so good to see you all. So where we've been in children's ministry, if you haven't walked past our classrooms, I highly encourage it for a couple reasons. In the last 5 months that I've been on staff, we've just been working on a couple key things: making our rooms safe, making our rooms clean, helping leaders feel equipped and ready to go, and also just teaching the characteristics of Christ that can carry with these children all throughout their lives. Those are kind of just the simple things we've been working on. Something else we've been doing that Hayden and Allison have mentioned also, like in main service, is we've been tracking our numbers. And so when I say if you haven't walked past our rooms, the reason I would encourage you to do that is because they're full. Especially these two rooms, our Grove and our Orchard, which are our preschool and our elementary school rooms, they are at 100% capacity. So whereas in this service, we're at 70 to 80, those rooms almost every week are hitting 100%, which is awesome and wild. But what we have noticed, the wild you can hear when you hear the screaming, that's the wild. What we have just noticed is that when we're at like 35 kids in an elementary school classroom, that one, it becomes like unsafe. There's too many bodies, and also the experience for those kids isn't as good. I've walked past that room when there's like 20 kids, and leaders can engage better, the kids hear the stories better, and they kind of feel more seen, and relationships are more naturally able to build. That goes also in our Grove room. The other thing I really want to hit on is that when we have people who have never been to our church, what we would call first-time guests, when they come and they see rooms at that sort of fullness, they don't feel great about that. It feels like there's no room for their kids. And right, we don't want that. We want to make sure that our rooms feel open enough that parents feel confident enough to send their kiddos in there. And you know, previous to 5 months ago, I was a parent here, just a parent, bringing my kids. And I can attest to that feeling when I would walk past the room and it's like, I mean, there's a balance, right? Like preschool rooms are always going to be insane. But when it's insane and loud and it's like to the max, you kind of feel like not great about it. So those are some of the huge indicators on why we've really felt like it's time to move to two services. Now, anybody in this room that is a children's volunteer, you're probably like, what does that mean for us? It's fair. It's really fair because recently we've been on a serve two weekends, you're off four weekends. That's going to probably change a little bit. Like Hayden and Allison said, we're probably going to have what I would say as a teacher, a flexible brain. We're going to have to look forward to what that's going to look like. And I'm going to spend, thank you. Oh my gosh, whoever is giving me the laughs, I appreciate it. It probably the teachers in the room that are back there, Nathan and Amanda. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to have to grow and be flexible. Ideally, you know, what I would love is one weekend off, one weekend on. We also are going to try to have a backstage area, which will look like kids of families that are serving and attending. Instead of having to be in service in a room twice, we can have maybe a spot for them in the office area where they can hang out, play video games, color. That'll also take a volunteer to run that. So that's a facet. So anyway, this is what you can do for me. I'm going to be hanging out in the lobby after service. I have four clipboards, and I would just love to chat. I know children's come with a lot of things, but we have so much opportunity, and not the shameless plug for Young Life again also, but I'm a Young Life kid who got transitioned into a church, and I'm so grateful for that reality. I had such good youth group leaders from Young Life to my church world, and it's just so important. I mean, I know we all know it, but we literally can't do it without you. So come find me back there. I'll get you a cup of coffee. It'll be free, but I'll get it for you anyway. So anyway, I'll hand it back to Ryan. Yep. Thank you, guys.
So again, I think you guys did an incredible job sharing the why and the how, and there's going to be a lot more communication coming from us, but we just wanted to share that at a high level. Again, just to recap a few of those things, one of the leading indicators that we have been looking at were our kids' rooms. We want to make sure they're safe, and they were just packed and crazy, and we want to make sure that those spaces are safe and can be hospitable for not only our own kids, but people who are visiting and dropping their kids off. Again, our sanctuary, week after week over these last 4 months, was eclipsing that 70% mark, and we said, we have been thinking through this decision and praying about it for like a year, year and a half, and we have been kicking it down the road because personally, it's like, I love the idea of coming here. We got one service, we're hanging out, we're doing it, and we're going, but listen, ultimately, we're aware that this is just going to take more work. It's going to take more effort. It's going to take more people going to two services, and we're going to have to be more intentional about staying connected. But this is all worth doing because we believe this is the next step God is calling us toward. We just believe that. And we believe that he's leading us to this so that we can open up more space for more people to follow Jesus. And there's going to come a point where that, like, that comes a limit. Like, our space is going to be limited, and we'll have to send people out. And maybe then God's going to show us something like, hey, I want you guys to start planting churches or sending people to, you know, whatever that might be. But I just want you to know that, like, this has been something we've been thinking about for a year, praying about, and this is where we sense God leading us. Now, as we head into this new season and wrap things up this morning, also really excited to announce that we are starting a new series next Sunday on January 12th, simply titled Scripture. That's it. And the series is going to be about Scripture. And it is in the line of the different series that have been based on our Practicing the Way material as we've discussed Sabbath and prayer and all of that. This year's one is Scripture, this season. And growing in our understanding of Scripture, what I would say biblical literacy, is not just an intellectual exercise where we can study the text and get to know it better, but knowing Scripture and incorporating a Scripture practice in our lives is absolutely essential for our growing discipleship to Jesus. And so we're going to spend about a month doing that. One of our Practicing the Way groups is going to be focused on Scripture. So we're going to do a four-week study on Tuesday nights with the Practicing the Way material, diving into this topic of Scripture. And I couldn't be more excited because I love Scripture. I mean, that's why I do my job. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I do what I do. Okay, so now here's my challenge. For all of you here with us today, for all of you watching online, and for all of you listening on our podcast in the week to come, here's my challenge for all of you. As we enter this new year in 2025, will you step up and lean in? Will you do that? Will you embrace this shift? Will you embrace the shift to two services? And I mean more than just finding out whether you're going to attend the first one or the second one, okay? I mean, like it, might God be calling you to step up and in? Maybe you're not serving, and God's like, okay, now's the time to do it, because now you can actually attend a service and serve at a service. Or maybe he's inviting you to something else or something more. Maybe God is inviting you to invite a friend, to invite a family member, to bring someone along. Maybe God is inviting you to dive deep in Scripture. Maybe through this series that we're going to be doing, you have just been distant from the Lord, and here's an opportunity for you to read his book and get closer to him. Listen, I believe that when we take these steps together and we trust God like Abraham trusted God, there's no telling what God's going to do in and through this community. And if you even just look around right now briefly, kind of move your head, and just see the people around you, they're such a unique, wonderful group of people here that have just been so faithfully following after Jesus. And over this last year, we have seen so many new people join our fold, and we just want to continue to be faithful to what God's called us to. So the simple truth is we just can't do this without you. God, we can't do this without everyone on board. And so that's why we say, when we say, like, where we've been, where we are, and we don't say, I hope you notice this, we don't say, like, where we're going. Maybe in shorthand, but oftentimes my language that I've used this morning is this: where we sense God leading us. We are not too prideful to presume that this is exactly where God is leading us. Trust me, there is a lot of like hesitation in the sense of, okay, two services, I think this is what we need to do. We might find ourselves in May being like, that was a bad decision. And that, listen, church, that's okay. It's not permanent. We can always make the second decision. But would we take this opportunity to step out in faith during this season? So again, simply put, a few things I would say. One of our biggest needs is finding people to volunteer in Arbor Kids. And so even if you sense a little bit of an inclination, just a little bit, would you head out after this service into the lobby and go meet up with Lindsay? She's got those clipboards. Make her feel good about all of this, okay? Put your name on the clipboard. You're not signing your life away. It's just to let her know, hey, I'm interested in talking about this. And maybe all you're trying to do is con her out of a free coffee. That's okay, all right? Just do that, all right? But we would love to be able to connect you to these opportunities that are just going to be coming up left and right in the coming month. I get it that we are all so very, very busy, that we've got our work lives, our family lives, so much going on. But I just want to draw our attention to one final verse as we close. In Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, talking about all of these Old Testament characters who followed after God. And it mentions Abraham, the guy we've been talking about all morning. And it says this, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out, not knowing where he was going." Not knowing where he was going. We have a sense of where God is leading us, but ultimately there is so much about the next year, 5 years, that we don't know. We have no idea, but as a church, we want to, by faith, step by step, listen to God's call and take those steps as a community. Each and every one of us here, what I would love to see is God building a community, not where a few carry a majority of the load, but where so many people know that they are needed and can be involved in something beyond just being here on Sundays, but to be more connected, and not just for the sake of serving some sort of greater cause, but for the sake of meeting other people and being known and loved. That is what makes being a part of this community worth being a part of it. It's not coming here and singing and listening to what I have to say. It is about connecting with the people around you. That's really where God does a majority of his amazing work, is in being connected to one another. So as we step into this new phase of this new journey in Arbor, two services, a fresh focus on Scripture, a renewed commitment to our mission, would we do it together? Would we build a church where we're all involved, we're all pitching in, where our kids grow up and know Jesus, where people can walk into this space and be like, oh, there's a seat for me, there's a seat for me. And where the ways in which God is blessing us, we simply take those things and turn them back out into toward one another, or especially to the world around us. My prayer is that each of us will lean in, will lift up our eyes to the skies, just like Abraham had to, and we'll say, God, wherever you need me, however you want to use me, show me what my next step is in 2025. Because again, if there's one thing I'm convinced of, it's that God is absolutely not done with us. He is at work in this community. It is so humbling and encouraging to see all that God is doing in our midst. And not only is God not done with us, I really do believe the best is yet to come. I think the sweetest years of this community are in the future, and I'm so excited about that. So we would just continue to journey forward, one step at a time. We don't know what all this is going to look like in 10 years. By God's grace, we'll be there together. Amen? All right, stand with me. I'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this sweet morning. Thank you for just the opportunity to share all of this information, God, and I know it was a lot. And Lord, I pray that we would walk away from this morning encouraged by your faithfulness to this particular community. And we understand that we are just one of thousands of communities that gather each and every weekend. And Lord, we just desire that you would just continue to expand our vision for what you could do through us and what you are doing. The universe does not revolve around this church, Lord. We understand we play a very small part in this community of Woodinville for your kingdom. But Lord, we want to be faithful in that. And it's exciting for us. It's okay that it's exciting for us. And we're looking forward to all that you're going to do through this community. And over the past couple of years, I've just looked out and I've seen what you have been doing. And I can't really say it's a little community anymore. I do think you have been adding not only to our numbers, but God, you have been increasing our faith. There are a lot of people in this room, God, with big faith. And I believe you want to use us for your glory in our community around us. So God, we open our hands and we surrender all of this to you. We thank you for what you've done, and for whatever is in the future, we just give it to you. And if these plans are according to your will, we pray that you would bless them and strengthen them. And if not, Lord, we will adjust accordingly. We love you, and we love Jesus. We pray this all in his name. Amen.